tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Z Nation fans! Welcome to another episode of the AfterBuzz Z Nation After Show. I'm your host, Megan Salinas. Tonight we are going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 10, We're Nowhere Near the Grand Canyon. If you guys haven't already done so, please subscribe and rate on iTunes, leave comments on YouTube, all that fun stuff. We love hearing from you guys. Let me introduce my fantastic panel, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. We are also checking the live chat and the hashtag ABTVZNation. So if you've got something fun to say, throw it up there and you may well get a shout out.
Michelle Cullen.
Hello, everyone. You can follow me on Twitter at Michelle _ Cullen. It is my name. It was a birthday present.
That is a fact. That is very true.
That's the one way to put it.
And guys, we have two wonderful, wonderful, fantastic guests with us. That sentence got away from me. Fantastic guests with us tonight, Keith Allen and Kalita Smith from the show. How are you guys tonight?
Amazing.
Good. Really good.
Mm-hmm. We're glad to have you back.
Good, yes.
You look like a pilot.
Yeah, he's got like the jacket on and everything.
If I were going to take off, I should sit back.
Yeah, come fly me.
Ooh, what? Okay, do the show.
Z Nation After Dark.
After Buzz After Dark.
Yeah.
Haven't had that since Mitchell Whitfield was on Robots.
Start my engine. Sure. All right.
So we should have started with Start Me Up then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I guess that would have been more appropriate.
Start Me Up.
Yeah. Or Danger Zone. We did that earlier this week for a different show. But yeah, we will do our best to keep an eye on the live chat if I need
soon
glasses
as it comes up,
at some point.
It'll happen.
And also,
our engineers are great.
And also, guys, like I said, like Katie said, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag. So if you guys have any questions for our fantastic guests, we may very well give you guys a shout out. Again, provided Wi-Fi works. Anywho. Guys, I know for the last couple episodes we've very much felt like the last few episodes were filler. This one had a lot of really good stuff in it, and I felt like we kind of broke the filler mold and we moved forward a little bit.
And you were worried about this one.
I was. I totally thought this was going to be filler.
Why were you worried?
I thought it was going to be because it looked like a dust storm, I thought it was going to be the Sharknado episode all over again, or the zombie Sharknado episode all over again.
Don't you know it's
I was pleasantly surprised, and I'm totally willing to admit when I am wrong. Okay. So I want to ask everybody here tonight, what was your favorite moment from tonight's episode?
Oh,
I know Michelle's.
Yep. I watched it on Friday, so I need a minute. You go first.
My favorite by far, because I've watched it twice now, is Doc's trip, his journey in the wilderness.
Getting to see his spirit animal.
Astral projection killing a zombie.
Little peyote ride.
Yep.
We kind of do where no zombie show has gone before, you know?
Yeah definitely.
Awesome. In two seasons.
Yeah.
You just wait.
How about you guys? What was your favorite part of tonight's episode? Or Friday's episode?
The episode.
I think my favorite part was our scene at the end when Murphy is sort of spent and just drained and... Warren comes in and they have that really touching, tender moment where she is, you know, she's giving him, you know, as much support as she can, but also being the voice of reason and reality for him when he's obviously been through a lot. But she's also saying, look, you know, you're going to have to make a choice because you can't play both sides of this argument. And so, but, you know, she also, it's a compassionate moment for both of us. And I think those are some of the strongest moments in the show in general, because we can have the goofy, wacky stuff and, you know, some of the you know, more campy, strange moments. But to me, that's the heart of our show, is when you really get down to the human toll that that the show takes. And when you find these characters that people have care about by now, and you find them coming together and finding a common ground, or trying to find a common ground,
yeah.
I think those are the most powerful moments.
Mm-hmm. See, I was intrigued by that scene, especially by the wording. Remember who's going to protect you and who wants to eat your brains. Well, it's fairly easy to flip that on its head because we've had zombies protecting Murphy and under his control, and we don't know what the CDC has in store for him. So it's pretty easy to slice that either which way.
Believe me, I brought that point up also. And the other point is that they don't want to eat my brains. They want to eat her brains. However, you know, that... The point was well taken. I mean, sure, you know, I didn't want to get into semantics about, you know, what exactly she was trying to say. I think Murphy got the gist of, you know, of her concern and of her...
Well, because you're a blend, really.
Yes.
And one or the other is going to take over eventually. It will be the zombie.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully you will be able to sustain an even balance.
Right.
And I really felt like that's kind of what she was talking about.
Yeah, don't forget your humanity.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It is who you are, truly.
And we are in the apocalypse. That is the game we playing.
Yeah, we are.
And it is real for us on Z Nation. And to stay true to that, that's part of what I liked about our scene, is that we're able to bring a humane side to a very tough situation. And then also my favorite part was riding on the back of the ATV with Eddie Spears.
Was it a bumpy road?
No. It was a little too short.
You think you need to retake that one? I don't think we got that.
It was too hot. I couldn't even do that for him. It was too hot. But and just the fact that we were not at the Grand Canyon, and it looked like the Grand Canyon. Like,
yeah,
our
special
effects are like amazing.
Yeah, I have to say the zombie horde going over the Grand Canyon, that looked fantastic.
Yeah,
that looks great.
Kudos to,
because if I really knew that, I'd have had a different reaction. A little more intense, like oh shit.
Yeah.
And I've actually driven to Flagstaff from California before, so there the stretches of road you guys were on, I'm like, that looks like Arizona.
Oh yeah.
Looks like on the road to Flagstaff.
Well, that's the great thing about Spokane is that it does. Double as quite a few parts of the country. It has quite a varying terrain there, and so there's actually a huge canyon there that looks like a mini Grand Canyon.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly the gorge, which is where there's a concert venue out there. We did film out there, but out in the middle of nowhere, there's also this other canyon that, you know, we went and shot some of this footage out there. You know, so yeah, Spokane's got a little bit of everything.
Makes it perfect.
Okay.
Nah.
So I remembered my favorite moments.
Oh, go ahead.
Two.
Go ahead.
One was the dream at the beginning.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. We need to talk about this.
Yeah, well.
And the other was the brother for the tribe doing the whole "this is how we act" thing, and then his sister straight up calling him out on it, like,
"Shut up, Gordon!
What are you doing?"
Right. Yeah.
Because up until that point, I was really uncomfortable with it. Like, is this how? Not sure how to. And then she's just like, "Really, really?" And I'm like, "Thank God!"
Yeah. If mom was alive, she'd slap you upside the head.
That's the uterus.
Yeah.
It's true. No, you bring up a very good point. Whenever media tries to tackle Native American culture, it can be a little bit of a touchy subject. So I did really enjoy the just like, shut up, Gordon. Like, we don't have time for this. That's nonsense.
Keep it real. And they are beautiful, stunning looking people.
Yes.
Stunning. Just
good looking cast.
Gorgeous.
Well, like Native American actors.
Actually
Native American characters.
Oh, well.
Yes.
She's talking about us.
So let's go back to that opening scene. Because we open up on what looks like a really great action set piece, which we slowly realize it's actually a dream sequence.
When did you know it was a dream sequence?
When he turned into a zombie. Up until that point, I was like,
okay, this is
how she likes it.
Oh, good.
See, I totally bought it.
It was the second they started making out, and I'm like, this is a dream, because shows never give me what I want when I keep yelling at characters to kiss. They never actually kiss. So I'm like, this is a dream.
Exactly. Well, he got his shirt on. You know that.
I was doubtful of the whole thing being real when you guys were just going crazy with the bullets, because I was like, they both know better. That is not something they should be doing.
Well, Z Nation is wasting them? The show, so.
Yeah. Like, we were shooting zombies. Even in my dream, girl. They going down. They going down.
So there's been a lot of stuff this season about the Vasquez Warren dynamic, and so we see from this that that's something that's been on her mind, too.
I mean, how could it not be? Look at him. He's stunning.
Very good looking guy.
Yes, he's gorgeous. And he's coming off really Rambo-ish. Like, you know, like, testosterone. Yeah. No, I'm in the apocalypse.
And
so
the guy has got like a 14-pack. My God. I don't know why they don't have his shirt off every episode.
It's coming. You can't do it so fast. You gotta let it progress.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and we still don't know if, as a character, he can be trusted.
Right.
He gave us that story about being a DEA officer.
I don't believe it.
I mean,
well, he's still got the vest. He's still got the vest. I don't know.
Please, you can get those vests anywhere. He's going to betray him.
Is that what you think?
Oh, my God. I've been staking that for like half a dozen episodes.
Interesting. Now,
we do have a question from Alicia Perez on Twitter. Given the Warren Vasquez dynamic and the touching scene that Murphy and Warren have been having, they've had a lot of touching scenes over this season. Alicia Perez wants to know, do you think Murphy might have a small crush on Warren?
Small?
Well, wait, let me give you a little shout out.
You know, I think there is certainly, I think first and foremost, he respects her her strength, I think, and I think he finds that very attractive. I don't think he's looking at her going, oh, baby, I'm on the... You know, I think he's... Come here now. He really has seen, you know, her take control of a very, very difficult situation, and control of him also. And I think he finds that very attractive. So I think there's definitely some attraction there. Whether or not he'll ever, you know, she'd probably punch him right in the face.
<You know? laughs> We have Rocky Reed in the chat saying,
I think he's smarter than to go in for one, you know.
I wouldn't punch you in the face.
Very specific.
I also think that because it is the apocalypse and we are on this mission, it is almost like a family thing, you know. And I think part of me kind of you know, rearing you in at times, it's more like a big sister. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, step out of it, we got things to do, like toughen up, here, give me back my uterus, like, you know, we gotta go. But I don't know, let's stay tuned, we're only in season two.
But I'll tell you, I think also, and I keep bringing up this point, is that Murphy is really at a point where, even though we have these scenes, he is watching everything out of the corner of his eye. I don't think he really trusts anyone to look out for his best interest. The collector episode, when he says, when we get to California, don't leave me alone. And she says, I won't. He don't believe her. He knows that, you know, she's just saying what he wants to hear. So I think everything, you know, is taken with a grain of salt in the apocalypse because, you know...
We're on high alert.
We are.
With each other.
And we do what we got to do. And Murphy is well aware of that. We do what we got to do to get through to the next day. And so he's not putting a lot of faith, really, even in what she says. He wants to believe, but... You know, I think he takes it all with a grain of salt.
Well, now I know.
Well,
and everyone's literally after his blood.
Yeah.
So
Literally. This season, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't met a single person this season who knew who he was who didn't want to use him.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And we didn't know that many survivors were out there. How about that?
And then you get to Cheyenne, and it's like, oh.
A mess. Everybody came out like Mardi Gras. Crazy.
which there have actually Cheyenne. Been a lot of, just speaking of the Cheyenne episode, that episode had so much action in it. Like, there was so little dialogue in that one. And I was wondering, from your guys' perspective, like, how was it filming that episode in particular? Because it was just go, go, go the entire time.
It was go, go,
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
And I had to tell the director a couple of times, is this going to be the shot? Because if I run full out, this is it.
Yeah.
I need to know, like, pull back now, or are we shooting this the last one? Because then I can get my full thing. It's like, oh, my God, you can't. I am not 25. I cannot run 17 times up this street. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you were definitely, you know, asked to do quite a bit of running and jumping and climbing. I mean, they're like, okay, we want you to jump that fence now. And I'm like, you want me to jump that? What? Like, where's my stunt man? I'm like, you don't have one. Like,
is there a ladder?
Yeah.
Right. But that'd be fun for you.
Could I get a steppy stool?
Because you don't really do a lot of, I mean, we kind of do it often.
Yeah.
We're often fighting. We're often running, mm-hmm. running gun.
Yeah.
For you.
Well, some of us, you know, pull the groin, you know, like first shot off on that episode. Not her.
I don't have a groin.
Poor Matt. Poor Matt.
Uh-oh, who knew that? Who knew that?
Someone's been doing
we
that
all did.
Yeah. First shot of that episode. He comes raring around the corner. He's like, oh!
Well, he told us about that,
didn't
he? Yeah, did
he? And they say told him under the bus, too.
That was it for him in that episode. He didn't run no more. He didn't climb nothing. He basically just stood there with his gun, and they moved the background. They didn't even...
I didn't say anything, Matt.
We're sorry, Matt.
We had him on a few weeks ago.
It's
he
awesome.
Already
it's
spilled
the beans. He did tell the story.
Awesome.
After Passe threw him under the bus, and we had her on, and he told the story. Him.
I love it. We get a little more each time, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here comes Mr. Badass around the corner with his 14-pack.
Well,
you can't do anything else.
Well,
so we do have a question on the hashtag again from Alicia Perez. Ask Keith and Kalita, who messes up during scenes? She wants some dirt.
Matt? No, I'm playing.
I think she means in general, not necessarily throwing each other under the bus.
Yeah.
I don't think we have time.
Yeah, we really
we gotta
don't.
Go.
No, you guys, and you guys mentioned it last year when you were on. Your guys' schedule is so quick and so fast paced.
Yeah.
You almost don't have time to
kind
of mess around.
Yeah, we don't get to mess around for sure. I mean, a little bit when we take the moments when they're available. But other than that, you know, it's go go. We
mess around or mess up.
Mess up.
Russell messes up.
Well. There you go.
But, you know, it's worth it. He's
You'll never know.
Blooper reel fodder.
You'll never know.
I was
not often, though, because we don't really have that kind of luxury.
Yeah, and
if anything, it's getting clarity about a direction.
Right.
Or the intention of a line mm-hmm. to move something forward. I mean, it's something minor like that.
Because at this point we are used to the game. We know how quick we got to get this done. We know that we don't have, you know, you get a couple of takes and that's it. So you don't have time to mess up or the opportunity. So you kind of get it right. And if you don't, you are the first.
Lines.
Yeah, you're the first one back on the spot going, all right, let's go, you know, because, you know, we don't have time. So. Yeah.
Burning daylight.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. All the time.
Ooh, and it stays daylight there so long. The sun goes down at 10. Like, Jesus, where are we?
Well, summer. Not right now. It's like 5 o'clock outside and it's already pitch black.
No, we're in Washington.
That's true.
Yeah. In Washington, the sun goes down at like 9.
It's like 9 o'clock when it starts.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
It's a long day. That is a long day.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually wondering, Murphy last season, the makeup was really, really interesting. And this season, they took it in a little bit of a different direction. Mm-hmm. And he's got that snazzy new coat now, too.
Right.
What do you guys think of the new kind of character design?
Well, first of all, let me give a shout out to Ashley Russell, who is our new wardrobe girl for the second season. I think she's completely stepped it up a notch. I think she's having a lot more fun with the looks and really creating distinctive looks for each one of the characters. And so, so I think wardrobe has really sort of taken off in the second season. I mean, Murphy. Well, first of all, the my thrift store outfit with my gold shiny jacket and my pimp hat. Come on, that was a good outfit. That looked good.
What, not the robe and the slippers?
No, that looked good, too. Did you see my legs? I got good legs.
No, you actually did. You did look really snazzy in that hat and that jacket. Yeah. Even I had to say, swag. Yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know, they're smart about finding, you know, reasonable opportunities to change out, like, Murphy's outfit. So now, after the Collectorist episode, I have this sort of super villain outfit with a big duster and, you know, the Michael Jackson zippered pants and the badass boots and stuff. So I love it. I mean, it gives Murphy... I mean, last year I ran around in, like, a holy-ass sweater and a pair of dirty pants all season. Well, I did not change once.
It was the first... It was the first season of The Apocalypse for us, right. And so we didn't have time to think about clothes.
I know. So, anyhow, I love
style it. Comes later.
Yeah. I love it. Exactly. And I actually got a couple more outfits coming up. Just
yes.
Exciting. Yes. Did you get to keep any of them?
Nope.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
That'd be fun for Halloween.
Yeah.
Cool duster and everything like that.
Yeah, they always keep them just because they never know if we're going to have to go back and pick some up or something, so...
Makes sense. Again, very economical with the time frame.
Oh yeah,
and everything. So go ahead. What were you?
Oh, it's just like we should talk about Citizen Z.
We
partially
should,
because the chat is super happy with them up there.
Yeah,
and partially because we have him back.
I was worried about him for a couple episodes. We didn't see him at all. I was a little worried that either he was having trouble or that maybe he decided that he was going to hit the road and that was way better than trying to stay there.
He was up killing zombies for a couple weeks. He's got this little, it's like in fighter jets, when they take down a jet, they spray paint the silhouette on the side of the jet. Right. Like, yep, got one. Mm-hmm. He's got that going with the crew members from the plane that are now zombies, just like crossing them out with big red Z's. Like
the
yep.
plane that abandoned him.
The plane that abandoned him, and now he has to go kill them all.
But yeah. You're watching.
Yeah, it was funny. Some people didn't understand where the zombies were coming from. I noticed that. They were like, where are all the zombies coming from? But yes, they came from the plane that...
Yeah. Well, that's also how he knows how many there are.
Right, right.
Exactly. And he's becoming more of a little badass, right?
He is.
Yeah. I've been practicing.
Oh, honey.
I still want to give you a cup of hot cocoa and a cookie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, is he out of bullets already? Why is he, like, firing a rocket launcher at that?
Interesting.
It
gave me something to do.
There's a trope called Rule of Cool.
I mean, it did blow him out.
Yeah.
It did. It blew a hole and then it incinerated the rest of it.
Yeah. That's the first time I've ever seen, like, a zombie melt.
Yeah, it was a melting zombie. I did think, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know.
A little bit, yeah.
He chose poorly. Yeah,
but I will say I was a little uncomfortable with the fact that he had to warm up the battery by sticking it down near his crotch. That was a little uncomfortable.
That's a guy thing. You leave them to their own devices and their hands live down there.
Yeah, you know. It's all about the rocket launcher, baby.
Occasionally it's just like gentlemen.
But you see how long it took.
Yeah. You gotta heat up that missile before you can shoot it.
I believe we call that blue balls.
It took a while, yeah. Or pool growing.
I think you killed Michelle.
I have no comments on this topic.
I know.
Oh, Michy. Be with us.
No one told me that since high school. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, because, again, he had this great kind of interesting conversation with Addie. He was able to give them the coordinates that they were missing for the last couple episodes. And so they know where they're going now. But I'm wondering if they are going to kind of keep pushing for the Addie-Citizen Z kind of romance, because he has this big crush on her. And she's single now.
Forcibly so, conveniently.
Single. Are they supposed to give it a few months? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the apocalypse. Got to move on.
So, long distance relationship.
Don't look back.
Don't
look back at
it. Only to the future.
Mac, well, he was dead weight anyway, that one.
Oh.
Yeah, I said it.
I'm going to duck. Nothing's coming.
You know, Michael's watching this like, really?
Yeah.
Really? No,
they love each other. Yeah. That's our little
He laughed
brother.
At all my jokes. She doesn't. He laughed at all my jokes.
So you really like him then?
I love him. It was so funny. He's really funny. Sadly, you know, you never got to see be how funny he is on the show. He was always so serious, but... He's a funny dude. Really funny.
Well, we've had him in a couple times.
Yeah.
He's pretty great.
He's great. Yeah. I love him.
He's very nice. We miss having him on the show.
We miss having him, too. We were sad to see him go. It's amazing when they tell us that, like, someone's getting killed off. We're like, oh, no. Can't we just keep him for a little longer? Please? It's
I can
like
make
a puppy.
Him a zombie. It'll be fine.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, I know. They never let us win, though. We want to keep him.
No, that's always a bummer.
But then we all start getting complacent and thinking that people might actually survive, and you just can't have that.
That's the part I like about this show, though.
That's true.
I like that part of the shock value, you know? I think it makes it more interesting and edgy, and it makes for must-see TV, because now you want to see, you know? And it's the apocalypse. Who the hell wants to live it out?
Yeah.
Well, no, this was a show that killed the main character not once but twice, because we had
Harold
in the first episode, and then Tom in episode 6. I've never seen a show kill the main character twice.
Yeah.
I know. I started skipping ahead thinking, am I next? Who's next?
Well, and I remember watching.
Don't get too comfortable.
Nobody gets too comfortable, apparently. No.
I remember watching the very first episode, and I was like, hey, that guy, I love that actor. And then he died. And I was like, yep, that happens more than I'm proud of.
Yeah. So
like,
if he would have left that baby, he would have been fine. No one listens to Murphy, though. I told him, leave the baby.
Speaking of zombie babies, we have another zombie baby kind of hanging out elsewhere.
Oh, we
my
do.
Little Lucy.
Yeah, Murphy's a dad now. Mm-hmm. We dropped that responsibility as soon as he could.
Well, we did.
No, obviously it was a different situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what happened to the baby?
Well, you don't know this.
Right.
We did hear that Lucy and Ma and Pa Kettle will be back in season 3, and I believe that was Carl throwing that around on his Twitter a while ago.
I hope
so. But this
was
before we were confirmed for season 3, so hopefully that sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, congratulations, guys.
Yes. Yeah. Congrats on season 3.
Super cool.
So for everyone who's been asking on Twitter, did you know they got a season 3? Oh, believe me, we know.
Yeah. We know, and we couldn't be more excited.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, they have to bring Ma Kettle and Lucy back. I mean, I think that's an interesting storyline, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing how many people really gravitated to Lucy. They really want to know what's happening with her, what's going on, you know. And
what can she become? What is she?
Yeah. And so...
is she going to be mad at you? That's what I want to know. She got a uterus.
You know, I think we're going to see her actually before the end of this season.
Really?
3?
Really?
Two. Huh. We'll see her too?
Never mind. I didn't say nothing.
Was that here?
Mm-hmm. You weren't there.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What, in your...
Okay.
Okay.
I will say the chat is saying that they miss Pie Girl a lot.
They do. Yeah. They miss Sarah.
I just hung out with her the other night. I love
she's
that
great.
Girl. Oh
yeah.
My God, we have so
best.
Much fun. Yeah. Yeah, we miss her too. She was another one we begged to like keep. I'm like, oh, Carl, come on.
Carl, they might figure something out for her though. You know, it's kind of what
you
happens.
Shot her in the head.
Well, she could wear a wig, okay? A nice little blunt cut or
bullet
something.
To the brain.
She could be, you know, you never know. It's
she's
true.
Got a twin sister somewhere.
It's television.
She was pitching lots of ideas when she was on our show.
She was.
Sequences.
This is why
dream
I don't trust anyone who comes to me and says, oh, you really need to book this person for this episode. I'm like, oh, no, we had this with Tom. And then we had this with Mac, and then we had this with Pie Girl, and he just... you need to book them for this episode, subtitled, Because It's Their Last.
Right.
We have a question on Twitter from Mike. He wants to know if Murphy is comfortable being called Dad.
Well, you know...
You would prefer Big Daddy?
You know, it was, I think the whole, you know, thing was a shock to Murphy, obviously. He didn't know he was going to be a dad. So he really was not prepared for fatherhood. It was sort of thrust upon him. And I think with many, you know, fathers, you are completely unprepared until you meet your baby.
Right.
Until you're holding that baby in your arms and then you fall in love with your baby. And I think that's what's the thing with Murphy. He was kind of like, let's leave her. Let's ditch this whole situation. It's a bad idea until he holds that baby. And then he's absolutely comfortable being daddy. He's like, this is my girl. And so, yeah. And it was a hard thing for him to leave Lucy behind. But, you know, the reality, Murphy's no fool. He knew that the reality of the situation, and for their protection as well, and they protect Murphy, that it was not going to work out for us to carry her with us across the country when she is just attracting zombies like flies. So.
Especially with no Pampers.
I had to change the baby diaper. You never did it. Nasty.
You wouldn't let me hold it.
Because you were doing something on shifty. No. You're something shifty.
I wouldn't do it on shifty.
You were dumb. I saw you guys whispering out of the corner of your mouth.
It's a baby. How am I going to harm a baby?
Didn't you guys play football with the baby?
We didn't play football with the baby. What we did was we played a little hot potato. That's a little different because that's a little more delicate.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure you grab it right and you got it tucked in for your run.
I think you play hot potato differently than I do.
Yeah, it was a baby.
Well, that's the difference.
I do want to talk about this scene with the zombie horde, because we have this zombie horde coming. It's this big dust storm, and apparently it's big enough to take down an entire casino building, which I was like, oh, no big deal. Just stay up on the top floor. You won't have any problem with the zombie. Stay up on the roof. And then it just collapses. And I was like, oh.
Yep. Love the zombie slot machines. And then they got a jackpot before they showed up. Yep. Like, sitting there watching it with Michelle going, hey, look at the slot machines. Hey, that's a nice touch. And then he plays it and like, yeah, okay. Okay.
But they had a very interesting solution. Doc had a really great idea to actually divert the horde into the Grand Canyon.
And he phrased it so eloquently. Do you think zombies are as dumb as buffalo?
Yeah.
Yep.
And a plan is born.
Well, evidently they feel pain, so that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Murphy was not on board with this whole plan, by the way.
No. as we expected you not to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and, you know, part of Murphy's problem with these people is they are treating my people like cattle, you know. They think that they can just herd them and slaughter them at will, like they are, you know, mere animals. And
it's a perspective.
Offense, yes.
But it's a perspective, as when Warren came, as Warren came to you at the end of the scene. Right? I see your perspective, and that's going to get us killed. No. Maybe not you, but it's going to get us killed. Yes, it's either going to turn us to a half-blend, or it's going to get us killed. And for me, it's a different perspective. And it's all about preserving you to a place to where we can find a cure. Mm-hmm. Because in Warren's mind, I can save this world. Mm-hmm. Here he is. We getting there. I need you to toughen up. Stop it. And we're going to save these people.
The problem is you want to save the world the way you remember it. And the times are a-changing,
friend. No, I don't want to save the world the way I remember it. I want to save the world so that we can have a world to remember.
I'm regretting not bringing popcorn in.
I know
we need drinks.
Shot.
My man. Turn him in.
So what has been the biggest challenge so far this season in comparison to last season?
Aside from the 110-degree filming days.
Yeah, that for sure.
That. Well, we had that then, too, but I don't know. I think I have more clothes on this time. I don't know. I think, if anything, it's the fact that each episode is now 6 days, as opposed to last season, there were a few that were 7 days.
They gave you more episodes and less time.
Oh, well, believe me. Collector was 5 days.
Well,
so.
That's what I'm saying. And there were
that's insane.
It was one of those episodes. Seven for me was 5 days.
Yeah.
So I would say the shortness of time to get it done, because it's a lot to do, and it's you want to do it all, you know? You want to do what you read on the page.
I think also for me, it's a lot of, because we're now bringing in the other element of the bounty hunters, of everyone after Murphy, we're having, you know, this influx of other cast members coming in who are, you know, on the hunt for Murphy too. So we're getting to interact with a lot more of the population than we did in the first season. So, you know, we're getting to, and we're on the run a lot. We're having to defend ourselves, you know, from people.
He's just running more. We've been running. We've been running.
I only run when I have to.
And you got those Michael Jackson boots.
I know. Right?
They're heavy.
Yeah, they are.
But you got to keep up.
Okay.
Yeah, it can't be comfortable running in the duster, but it does look cool billowing in the wind, right?
Yeah. It's really good. Anything for my art.
It's all about the craft.
That's right.
You're right. He's in the mirror talking about, don't I look good? Get a shot of me right here.
Yeah.
Selfie.
Yeah, we do a few of those.
So I do want to touch on Michelle's favorite part of this episode, which was Doc and 10K's storyline, because they got captured and then released and then kind of captured again. And I wanted to get your take on Doc's role in this episode.
I think he was a little bit the comic relief, but that's just kind of his character. Like, nothing was out of character to drive the humor, which was really nice. I do appreciate that he said it was the one drug he never tried pre-apocalypse, and he was having a moment on it. I thought it really added some lightness to what is a sensitive subject still today, with Native
drugs.
American land and
drugs.
And drugs. Always touchy subject.
Only if you're not touching it.
Exactly. I'm fine with them. I'm not sensitive at all.
Straight for the bee concept.
So do we think, I mean, this is a guy who smoked Z-weed before, and that is like kind of his shtick, and he has peyote going forward. Do we think that we'll see Astra projecting again in the future?
God, I hope so.
I would love to see that come back for, like, the season finale.
Well, I'll tell you, I actually talked to Russell today, and we were talking about, because I said, I didn't know that he got peyote for the road also.
Yeah, she gave it.
And Russell and I have been talking to Carl. We've been begging for a musical episode. And so I'm like, all you have to do is have Murphy and Doc trip out on some peyote, and it's all a dream sequence where we got zombie backup dancers and do a little musical number. Fantastic.
You know, we've been joking we've been talking about coming up for season 3 and being zombie episodes. If that goes through, I want to be an extra for that episode.
My
God.
Like,
can we just be back there doing a little kick line?
Like
someone's
dress.
Leg goes flying off.
Singular sensation.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Make sure you answer your phone when we call.
Oh Lord, that would be that. All of my dreams come true, right there.
I want
that was
moment.
A Z Nation musical episode,
right. Yeah,
guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, if we get Carl in this season, we got to push for it.
I know. You're a Z all the way from your first
they've
time been
talking
to your last
time.
We're already
they've
right.
been talking about a musical.
Yeah,
since
yeah,
last
yeah.
season, and I always just
that's
turn ahead.
We all sing, you know. So
but not we
like,
all.
Yeah, we do.
I've
heard you.
Well,
apart from a musical episode, if you guys could have your pick of any type of episode, because we had alien episodes, we have Swamp Thing episodes.
We are going down the river.
Exactly. If you guys could have any type of episode moving in, maybe for season 3, what would you want?
Well, I would really want to, and this is for my own personal, I'd love to see Murphy's backstory. I would love to see what Murphy's life was like before the apocalypse, before prison. I mean, I've come up with what I think is a good storyline. But I think it'd be interesting for the audience to see where this guy came from, because I don't think people become assholes, you know. It is an accumulation of experiences and your life history, and I think the audience would really resonate to see like where this guy came from and what makes him tick and what makes him, you know, function the way he does. That's what I would love to see.
Interesting.
Right.
How about you?
I'm thinking. I don't know, because I'm so new to this zombie culture. So all of it is very fascinating. Anytime they come up with something, I'm like, oh my God, we can do that. wow. I don't know.
You want us to come back to you?
Okay.
I was very fond of anytime you guys do like a Western. I think my favorite episode last season was the spaghetti Western episode.
The shootout.
Yeah. So anytime you guys do Western stuff, I'm always on board for that.
I just really want, was it sketchy and skeezy? It seems because we had the Western last season with them, and then this season we had the going down the river and talking people up with them. So it seems to me if we're going to get a really funny genre episode, it's got to be with them. So whatever it is, they need to be the backbone of it.
I would love a flashback episode. I think those are always fun in a season, especially when it's well established. So going into season 3 would be, in my opinion, a good time to do a flashback episode where you kind of see where people were before this all happened and then how they met up and kind of how their stories interact, and you get those glimpses of who they were before. So similar to, I really want Murphy's backstory. Mm-hmm. I have a theory about why you were in prison.
It could be bunnies.
What?
Slippers.
Buffy musical. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. But kind of more extensive for everyone, because then it would be nice to kind of have, you know, Matt come back and Garnett come back and just kind of see our favorite characters that left us come back for an episode. And I'm sure it would be fun for you guys, too. So.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Just saying.
I'm not going to say nothing. Yeah, don't say nothing. Yeah. Okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Actually, that's you're on it.
Yes,
you're on it.
How many times am I told that during an episode, and I have no idea what it's referencing until like a couple of weeks later?
Yeah, but you're on it. So
you're like
you
Cassandra.
Go.
You have visions of the future. Different Cassandra. Not the Cassandra on the show. You have visions of the future, and then it comes true. So
yeah, but no one believes them for Cassandra.
That's
the flip side of that noise.
That's true. Stop giving away spoilers, Michelle.
You're welcome.
God,
stop
Michelle.
It. I mean, we were talking to him last week, but I want to get a little bit more of the Doctor of Death flashbacks.
Yes.
I would love to see a little bit more of how this zombie virus progressed, and actually, I want to see it get out of the lab. I want to see the inciting incident.
You want to see Patient Zero.
Yes! Well, we already saw Patient Zero.
Well, okay.
He was like a melted mess. And he's, that was gross.
He didn't do too well.
No.
Uncontrolled Patient Zero.
Yeah.
Out in the wild.
Yeah. No. But that's what I would like to see. So, speaking of seeing the future, is there anything else you guys want to talk about in this episode before we move into predictions?
Poor 10K.
Poor 10K.
I will say, I saw this on Twitter. Evidently,
poor
10K, the gift
what?
That...
Kids living the dream.
Yeah.
Evidently, the gift that she gave him has some significance if you are from that culture. And I didn't get a chance to look it up, but... that might be something worth looking into.
What did she give him?
She gave him a kind of a beads.
A little charm to, like, protect him.
They gave us all something, too, on our journey.
I ain't getting nothing.
you were trying to have a little attitude. You gave yourself a timeout.
He was sulking in the corner. You're the kid that sulked in the van. I've been that kid.
They got a parking shuttle, and that's what we're heading west on, is a parking shuttle.
They gave us all
something. No peyote for me.
That's how we got to the end of the season. Okay. We got you, guy. You all right.
Hitting Doc up for that peyote.
It's in Seattle.
Yeah.
It's with him.
Don't worry, you're in LA. You can get all sorts of stuff here.
But I think what she's touching on is that he meets all these girls, but never makes a move. Never actually gets a kiss. Never gets a number. Not that anyone would have a number.
What's your Twitter handle, girl?
Doesn't he have a condom?
He
like,
does.
Didn't Addie give him a condom? Yes, and it's just like, I'm saving it for a special occasion. Like, honey.
Maybe season finale. Maybe season finale. Who knows? But
so what's going to happen first? Him using that condom or him hitting 10,000 zombies?
The condom.
Probably the same time it's going
to
be. It's a celebration.
Same day. Yeah, celebrate.
There's a shooting joke in there somewhere.
Yes.
Let it go.
Just let it go.
He's going to have sex with a zombie and then kill it.
Oh.
That was nice.
Too far?
No.
Not.
No.
Gross.
No. I'll put my foot down as Warren. Step in as a big sister.
Well, she wasn't a zombie when he started.
That's what I'm saying. That's even worse.
That's so gross.
They're not going to do that.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Here we go.
Yeah. I blame you for this.
Make sure he gets a condom.
Moving on. Anything else you guys want to touch on?
I think I'm good.
No. Yeah. Go to the corner and think about what you've done. You go
have Reggie in the chat saying, condoms expire, 10K. Yeah. And
good
Mikey saying that the season finale is the cheese wheel.
That's what I want. That I'm all for that. So let's officially move into predictions. And again, you go to the corner. Think about what you're
in the corner. What do you want?
You're after Buzz TV.
This is why we can't have nice things.
We did that episode.
Is everyone okay over there?
Are you okay with the light show?
I have a little bit of a seizure. But I'm good.
There was a lot happening just now.
I am super.
Like I was at the show.
Yeah. One half of my body is very wet right now.
Oh, yeah. She had a seizure.
No, I knocked it over.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, so next episode, we have a guest star in next episode. It was Anthony
Michael Hall.
That's it. I was like, the guy from Dead Zone whose name is escaping me. But that's really cool. And it's called Corporate Retreat. And it looks like they come across a group of people who, I guess, got stuck at work during the zombie apocalypse.
On a work retreat.
That sounds great.
I came here for a work retreat, a 4-day work retreat.
And
all I got
for
was a stupid apocalypse.
That's how you got with that sweater.
Sweater.
Yeah, because when they broke out, you only had what you had.
Yeah. Twitter loves the sweater, by the way.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
This sweater?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did she have
I got it good.
Oh, nice. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Winner.
I wouldn't talk about that sweater, but.
I know.
So, all in all, what do you guys think is going to happen next episode?
I honestly don't know. I just want to see it play out. Nothing good. But I just want to see it play out.
She's pretty good with the predictions. What do you think?
I don't know. Pressure. I think you stay in the building for the majority of the episode, but I kind of think that these people have just enclosed themselves in this space, and being on several work retreats, they're not always the most fun. So like you don't get to choose who you're stuck with.
Right.
And people have gone a little crazy. And I think that they're gonna butt heads and collide. And then shots are going to get fired. You're welcome. I'm just going to draw this out more.
For me, thinking about, like, what would the worst place in the world be? Where would I be if, like, the zombie apocalypse happened? And I'll be honest, being at work would not be fun.
Yeah.
Like, Beautiful when the farm. Zombie apocalypse broke out. Like, if I had to be stuck in the place where I work when all hell's breaking loose, I would not be a happy camper.
So, sorry, AfterBuzz.
What would be a great place?
I don't work here full time. I work somewhere else. I work in a cubicle.
We're all thinking of like cubicle farms.
But if something like that broke out, I mean, there isn't an ideal place you would want
Club
to
Med.
Be. No. Club Med is where people want to be.
Like somewhere where there's a spa. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I'd like to be in Madagascar because they shut down everything at the slightest sign of disease. So that'll be secure.
Hilarious. In a spa, you're naked. You're in a robe.
But, I mean,
you're
going to
spend the rest of the apocalypse in a robe.
Well, he's already started that, so.
You'd be comfortable.
Well, actually, in the next episode, they were on a corporate retreat. So they're actually in a hotel. So we're not actually at the place where you work.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But still, with your coworkers, that could just be awful.
But the next episode, it is a whodunit episode.
Ooh, murder mystery? Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exciting.
Those are the
magic
gets
words
shot.
For this one.
Murder mystery musical. You've said all of my favorite things.
Wait for it.
So that about wraps it up for tonight's episode. We want to know, do you guys have any upcoming projects that you can talk about? I know it's a little hard when things are in development.
I just had a film that came out last Friday. Mm-hmm. It's in limited theaters. Yes, it's called The Man in 3B. And it's a mystery thriller. I play a detective who is out to solve the case in this apartment dwelling. Some wonderful people are in it. Lamon Rucker, flashback, Billy Dee Williams still looks fine. Ooh. I was going to give him a dollar. it's just a great, phenomenal cast. Everyone's beautiful. Everyone's great. Carl Weber is the author, and he's taken some of his books and turned them into films. So it's The Man in 3B.
That's fantastic. Right. Can you tell us a little bit about your character? She's a detective.
She's a detective. She's badass. Mm-hmm. Kind of sexy.
You seem to
fun.
Have a type.
She got jokes.
You seem to have a type.
Badass.
A little badass, but she doesn't like draw guns. It's not what I'm doing on Z Nation for sure. But she's homicide detective, so there you go.
All right. That's fantastic.
SVU.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, thank you.
I did a film called Kill Me Deadly. It's a film noir parody. And it's actually airing a screening in Paris right now at a film noir festival. But I understand they just got distribution for it, so hopefully you'll be able to see that soon. It's a beautifully, beautifully shot film and funny as hell. Kirsten Bangsness is the star of it, and you know Kirsten from Several Minds. Yes, very funny. She was one of the producers of the film and stuff. And we wound up we did it as a play here in Los Angeles, and then they decided they wanted to make the film. So that's something completely different than what I'm doing on Z Nation. I'm actually white in this movie.
Well, not blue,
and you look great. Look at you.
Thank you.
You have so many different looks. It's amazing.
White,
how
blue,
you could just
hair
on your face, hair off your face.
Exactly.
I mean, he didn't have any hair on his face when we shot the last episode, and we had a little party, and he looked like Nat who had sex. It was great. It's just beautiful, stunning. That's what happens when you got good looks.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, that's who you thank.
So
where can people go if they want to keep up with you guys online and keep up with all these projects that you're working on?
At KalitaSmith1 on Twitter.
I'm at Keith Allen Duh on Twitter.
Duh.
And Keith Allen on Facebook and stuff.
Thank you guys much for joining us tonight. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure. We
Thank
always
you.
Have fun with you guys.
Well, we really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Katie Cullen, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at KiaJet. That's KiaXet. I am also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. Feel free to follow me there. And I basically live at the studio, you guys. I'm on so many shows. Blindspot, Arrow is back, Star Wars Rebels. I can't remember like the other five, but I'm on many of them.
Michelle.
You can follow me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen. It is my name. It's really fun to write in cursive. There's a lot of loops. It's just fun facts every time.
See you, man. Yeah, that's a lot of loops.
Yep.
Guys, I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheManguin and on Instagram. That's TheManguin. I want to give a quick shout out to Destiny-Morna on iTunes. They left a comment, 5 stars. This podcast is great, mainly because the panel is enthusiastic about the show and genuine fans. It's fun to geek out together. We also have such great guests, Cassandra, 10K Vasquez, and just recently they had Dr. Curry in. It's like getting an inside peek in the show. It does make me nervous when I hear our main cast members are going to be on. It usually happens after their death.
See?
Great job. I look forward to the podcast every week. Don't miss it.
You're safe with us right now.
Yeah.
Yes, thank goodness.
We're still alive.
For now.
Today.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you to everybody who was on the hashtag and the live chat. It was so, so fun talking to you guys tonight. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. And thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.